Marla's note. She goes, yes. She goes, you want me to read it to you? I go, no, it's okay. I said, but she said, I'm going to save that one. She goes, I can't throw that one away. I got to save what she wrote. She goes, that was really good. So I just passed it on to Marla. It's so thoughtful for thinking about her. If you're visiting us here today, we just want to especially welcome you today and to let you know that following the service today, you are in for a treat known as Nifla soup. Is that you, Marshall?
Yes.
You will like it.
Okay.
When you come back for your third, fourth bowl, whatever it is, you're going to say, this is good stuff. But my wife and I, we just talked about what could we do for the church just as a little Christmas, bring a little bit of Christmas cheer to you because you've been so good to us. And we sure appreciate all the things that you have done for us over the years. And so today, Sharon said, Nifla soup it will be. And then she made some other little special things that she will be giving out. So we'll be serving you after the service here today, for those of you that can stick around. If you want to know what Nifla soup is, because you don't want to wait in the line, you might say, if I knew this is what it was, I would have went home. But it's kind of like potato soup, but it's got little dumplings in it. And it's a German-Russian dish. So it's something I kind of grew up on, and I don't know if anybody does not like it. So if you don't like it, you'll have to go someplace else, like Perkins or somewhere, I guess. But you're all welcome to stay and share a little Christmas cheer from us to you. I also want to let you know that this Wednesday is Joy Us and Joy Kids Christmas Supper. It's kind of like, it's a supper with a Christmas program at 6 o'clock. You're going to eat first at 5:15, and if you would like to know how you can help out for that, there is a sign-up sheet at the secretary's big window. There's a little big door out there in the foyer that you can look at that and put your name where you can sign up with if you'd like to help with that. I want to remind you that, you know, Amy's been doing a great job with these kids, and I just want to let you know that she's, this is new to her. She does not know what she's doing, but what she's doing is good. And so when it comes to the supper and things like that, this is all new to her. She goes, I didn't know we did this or that. And I go, I'm not either. I don't know either. So, if you can help her out with this supper this Wednesday night, that would be much appreciated. I think just some side dishes, all you need, because Thrivent has taken care of the main course of the meal. And so just kind of like some side dishes or like a dozen cookies to bring or a salad or what else goes with that?
I'm in kitchen help.
Serving and clean up, yeah, those kinds of things. If you'd like to help with that, I'll help with either, wherever I can be there. And I'll even tell my wife she's going to help. So if I'm wearing a Nifla suit today, you know, that didn't go over well. Glad that you're here today, and this reminds you that there will be no Lunch with the Bunch Bible study this Thursday. We just started an introduction with the life of Joseph, and that's open to anyone from noon to 1 o'clock. If you want to bring something to eat, you sure can do that. It's just very informal. And then just to notice the prayer requests that we have in the bulletin there today. And to remind you that we are having a Christmas Eve candlelight service on the 24th of December of this month. And we're also going to have a Christmas Day service. The Christmas Day service will not be as long, it will be short, but at the same time. And he's just singing a lot of Christmas carols together. And if the Lord lays it on our heart to share a little something, I want to do that. But right now, I don't know what that would be. But you know, you're with family, or family's coming here, or you're going to family, you understand that. But it's Christmas, and it's on a Sunday. It's one of those times where you just go like, you gotta have something for those that are here. And so it'll be shorter than normal, just want you to know that. And hope that you can come and be a part of that. But 2 weeks from today, the musical that is being worked on Wednesday nights with Pastor Bob over there on the piano, They will be doing Breath of Heaven as a musical at during the worship service. I just want you to be aware of that 2 weeks from today. And so keep in mind, you know, that there's some of you have been a part of this musical and choir of Harbor of Joy for a number of years, and we understand that, you know, there's a day when it comes that you just can't fit anymore like you used to. And so that's fine. There's time for you to come and to just sit and criticize those that are in the singing. And that's the case for that. We look forward to that 2 weeks from today. There's other announcements in your bulletin. Please read them as well. And we are just thankful that you're here today. Thankful that you are joining us by Zoom, probably down in Florida and Arizona. You don't know what you're missing here. You should come back and see what's happening. It's like cold and snow here. But we're glad that you can join us from where you are. So blessings to you, and let's have a word of prayer as we begin our service here today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that have come to us here today, that have come because they have hearts that want to hear from you. And this is kind of that time of the week where we can do it here and as we gather together here at Harbor of Joy. And we can also do it, Lord, even on our way home from here. And once we leave, or we can do it anytime during the week, wherever we are, Lord, you are there with us. And so I just pray, Lord, that you be with Dave Convey today, and Jan, and his son is here, Jim and Carol, that he's in the Akira Nursing Home, Healthcare Center is what they call them these days. And Dave has chosen not to go on dialysis this past week, and so he just wants to know that his time is short. But he knows that he's going to be with Jesus, and he can't wait for that time to take place. And so we just pray your blessing upon the family as they spend some time together these days. And thank you for the good time that we had with them yesterday in his room. And so you can never tell there was anything wrong with him yesterday. But he's such a kind man, and we just love him. We missed him and Jan from being here on Sunday morning, but we know that he's in our hearts and our prayers throughout the days that you give to us here as well. And so just bless them today. And we say the same thing for us that have come here to worship you this morning. Those that have come near, those that have come far, those that have driven, we are just glad that we can unite our hearts around Jesus Christ here today and allow him to come and to minister to us as only he can. And so we just pray your blessing all that takes place today. Thank you for a wonderful praise band that is here as well, even though it's not everybody that's here. But we are grateful that we can have their gifts and their talents used here on a continuous basis as well. So bless our time together today, Lord. We've asked that, but also we just want you to speak to us and to convict us of our sin, whatever that may be today, that we may then ask you to forgive us. It's called repentance. It prepares our hearts before we come to your table this morning as well. And so we just ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take some time in silence, and you can do this with the Lord one-on-one, wherever you may be. It's just something that we encourage you to do in silence. So just talk to the Lord in however you want to talk to him, and he will hear you. Let's go and do that at this time.
And he will be called Wonderful Counselor,
Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words that were spoken many, many centuries ago. They still bring hope to us. They still bring a new life. They still change our hearts. As we once lived in this world and the ways of the world, we're now, because of Jesus, we live for Him and we live for you. Use your words, even though we've heard them many times over the years. But there may be someone here today that has never heard these words before. And if we've heard them many times, or if we've heard them for the first time, it is your call to us to come to you. You invite us to come. Just as you invite us to come to your table this morning as well, following the message. So we just pray these things as you work in our hearts and our lives here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You notice the Advent wreath? You know, typically you have like the prophecy candle and the candle of Bethlehem, which would be the second candle that is lit on the second Sunday of Advent. Advent in the church calendar is a church calendar which starts right after Thanksgiving. It's only in the Western church that does it at that time. And so the Advent wreath, what we have here, and I'm sure somebody made this. Anybody know who made this? Gordy Jurgensen? Jurgensen. Made this. It's Mrs. Real Wood. And they have an evergreen. It comes from Germany. Is where the Advent wreath really comes from Martin Luther, who started it. And each Sunday before Christmas, Advent is the coming. You're looking forward, you're anticipating, you're preparing your hearts for Christmas. And so each Sunday we light a candle. And then on Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle, which is right in the middle. And that's when we are anticipating who is coming. During this time of the year. It's a time of nothing like it, no matter where you go in the world, they celebrate Christmas. A lot of different countries do it in different ways. In Germany, when I was there, I spent two Christmases in Germany. You know the thing there that they have, of course, Santa Claus shows up there too. But they have one of these big nutcrackers, like soldiers, and their mouths open and they break your walnuts or whatever you want to have broken, only during the time of Christmas. But yet people have a giving heart, and they look at their families differently, they look at those around them differently. There's just a sense of people just automatically want to be home. They want to go home to be with those whom they love and they care about. So last week we looked at Jesus as the wonderful counselor. Today we look at him, and it says in Isaiah that mighty God. And with mighty comes a lot of other different words. It can be power. It can be omnipotent, which means all powerful. It can also be almighty. And so we're looking at mighty God that is given to us through the prophet Isaiah of the coming Messiah. I want us to think a little bit about power. The power of mankind over the centuries, remember, it hasn't always been like it is today. I want us to go way back. You think of the pyramids being built. You think of some of the old cities with the walls and the castles that were built on top of you know, you look at it and go like, how in the world did they ever build those things up there? But they were built by manpower, slave labor, or just people that just got together and said, we're gonna build this. But it was often, in the beginning, it was a lot of manpower to build roads. And then there were ships that had wind power in their sails that traveled around the world delivering things depending upon the wind that they had to go by. And that's how it moved around on this planet way back. The ships today don't need sails, do they? They need some fuel. Fossil fuel. Some of them have nuclear power. But we'll get to that as we go here. But you think of, through history, there was water power. There was steam engine power. Then there was electric power, machine power, gas engines. World War II came, and there we saw atomic or nuclear power come into play. Today, we look around us, what kind of power do we see here today? What are those white things that are spinning out there? No, there's wind power. And solar power. You got to collect the sun's rays to be able to generate power through just the sunshine. And of course, electric vehicles has been a big push on that lately, hasn't there? So I want us just to think about all those changes. And some of you here today have kind of been through a lot of these things already. You've seen them come, you've seen them go, you've seen the advancements that have taken place just within the last 80 years or so. Isaiah is not talking about this kind of power. Isaiah is talking about a God who will demonstrate a spiritual power in the lives of people, and only He can do this, that will make us want to love Him, will make us want to serve Him. And we know by the words of Isaiah that there is no one who can fulfill the names that are given here. There's four different names. There's no other person in the whole world that can fulfill these names other than Jesus Christ. He is all of these. And Isaiah is telling about, this is who the Messiah is going to be, the one who's going to come. Messiah is the Hebrew word where we get Messiah. We get Christ in the New Testament is a Greek word. So we put Jesus Christ, the coming of the Christ, the same thing as the Messiah. And so today Jesus is the mighty God. I want us to stop and just think about that for a little bit. We hear it, we say it a lot in the Apostles' Creed. The first article of the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That's it. That's an article. But it's referring to Jesus in light of Isaiah, that He is come as a God Almighty. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power that some of you here today know what that power has been like in setting you free from addictions and free from different kinds of things that you once did and you enjoyed doing, but all of a sudden there's something like Jesus comes in your life and He changes some of those things. It gives you new desires. I used to like to drink a lot. I've been drunk. But it's Jesus who came and replaced that drink with something much better. I've got more friends now and people around the world that I would never have had otherwise. I would have stayed where I was at. I would never have been here to Iowa. And I never even thought I'd come to Iowa. But God has His ways of bringing us and taking us places and going to places we never ever thought of. Because He knows there's people who need to hear about Him. And He might want to use you to do that. You don't have to be a missionary. But God God loves missionaries, and we do need missionaries around the world today. No doubt about that. McKenna has been one of our best missionaries here. You know, she's been bringing her friends and calling up other kids to come to church with her. You know, there was a time we never had any kids here. But now, look, there's a whole pew.
13
days today.
13,
and there's some here, too.
There's some in the back.
And there's some in the back.
Oh, nothing. Oh.
Scared me, thought somebody behind me. But it's just wonderful to be able to have children and have kids here at Harbor of Joy. So I know you come for the coffee or the meetings, but we're still glad that you're here. I know you come for good reasons. Where's Dalia today? Oh, there she is. Okay. There she is. Got it. Dalia came up to me last Sunday. She goes like, when are you going to have a McKenna and I come up again where you can give us candy? I had one children's, kind of like a children's message one Sunday to prove a point. And I told them, take your choice. What do you want, money or candy? And McKenna took the candy. And Dalia took the money. And now she wants candy. I said, it doesn't work that way anymore. The point was made. The point was made. Their temptation. I think it had to do with temptation, being tempted. And then they just fell for it perfectly. When we think of mighty, we think of someone who has been victorious in battle. We go back to the Old Testament in Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18, it talks about David. David is one who took a slingshot, twirled it around, and he threw the stone, and it hit Goliath, that giant of the Philistines, right between the eyes, and killed him. David became the next king of Israel. And when he would go out to battle and he'd come back, the people, the women would be rejoicing, and they're singing songs, and they're saying that Saul, who was the first king of Israel, and he never should have been, but the people wanted him to be king. But the women sang this song. You know, Saul has killed thousands of their enemies, but David has killed tens of thousands. And so Saul hated that song. He didn't like that song. And he realized that people were siding with David, and they liked David a whole lot more than him, who was the king. And David did become king eventually. But when David would come back, they would be singing praises, and they would be dancing, and they would be shouting things out that he was a mighty, victorious man. That was on their side. We go to Luke in the New Testament, chapter 24, verse 19 and following. And there in Luke, you'll find that there's two men on the Emmaus Road that they're going back home after they have heard about what has happened on that day. It was on a Sunday. And they'd heard about how the women went to the tomb and they were told by angels that Jesus was not there, that he is alive. There is power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus even walked with these two men, and they didn't know it was him until he had left them as he broke bread with them. They was gone. And they realized, whoa! They went back to tell the disciples what had happened to them. It was Jesus who told his disciples that he would be mistreated. He would, by the elders, by the religious leaders of his day, he'd be killed in Jerusalem, but one day he would rise again. On the third day, he says, no, he didn't say the fourth day or the fifth day or 2 weeks from now, but he said, on the third day, I'll rise again. He's the only man I've ever known who's been able to say that he was going to come back from the dead on that day and did. There have been many others who have tried. We've said other strange things, but they never did show up. But Jesus did. And he was with us for 40 days. With those, he was seen by more than 400 people, 500 people that saw him during those 40 days. So he's showing the power of him as being God Almighty and for being a man, becoming one of us. We see a lot of demonstration of Jesus being a mighty God in the powerful miracles that he did in healing the sick, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, stilling the waters on the Sea of Galilee when he was in a boat with his disciples, calming the waves, casting out demons and people, and one who said, "Your sins are forgiven," and they went away and changed from what they were doing before. Those are just some of the things. There's many more things that Jesus did. We know that he lived on this earth. There's some people today that said he never was born. He never came. He didn't live on this earth. You know, I go like, baloney. There's more written about Jesus Christ in books and facts about him that he lived from sources, from historians, from back in the day that he lived, of saying he was here. There was a man named Jesus who did these kinds of things. Just to close here today, I just want to tell you a little story. It's about a little boy who goes to the pastor. And he says to his pastor, "What can I do to be saved?" Now, this is just a little child. Who knows? It could be like somebody in the pew right there, or right over here. And the pastor told him, "Son, you're too late. Too late." The little boy responded, "What do you mean I'm too late to be saved?" And the pastor said, "You're too late to do anything to be saved." The little boy replied, "Well, what do you mean?" The pastor said, "Well, when Jesus died on the cross, there isn't anything that you can do to be saved. He did it all for you. It's a gift that is given from God. You cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. You cannot strive for it. You cannot come to church and pile up points with God. You cannot save enough coupons to attain salvation. Because salvation is a gift from God. When the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and told him to name the baby Jesus, Jesus' name meant something. Remember what it was? To save. Goes along with the name in the Old Testament of Joshua or Yeshua in the Old Testament. It means to seek. And Jesus came to seek and to find sinners and to forgive them of their sin that they may be saved. Did he come for you? You betcha. He came for you because he loves you that much. But only Jesus Christ can save you from your sins. And that's what makes him a mighty God. There is a power in Jesus Christ that can save you from your sins. And there are some sins that we like to do. But they'll send you and take you to hell, where it'll be without God for the rest of all eternity. And God doesn't want anyone to go there. And he's done everything possible to be able to keep people from going there if they would just come and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's a mighty God. There's a mighty power that he has that can come from nowhere else. You've heard of people who have been prostitutes who got saved and gave up that kind of life. There are alcoholics. There are drug addicted people who said, I really don't know what happened, but I come to faith in Jesus Christ, and now I just don't even do those things. I don't want to do those things anymore. It can be even with gossip. It can be with anything that takes us against God. And He will save us from those things and give us new things. And so He is still able to do that today. He's the mighty God still today. And so therefore He is able to still save you. His power is still available for you. Got any kinds of troubles going on in your life? Have you invited Jesus in to take them or to help you with them? Jesus is the one who invites you to come to His table, as we're going to do shortly. And it is His body and it is His blood that is given for you as we come. And we know that Jesus loved us because He laid down His life for us on the cross. Or in other words, He took your place. You and I should have died on the cross. We should have been crucified because we are the guilty ones. We're the sinful ones. Jesus never sinned. But yet He said, I will go and take the punishment that you should receive. I will take it on myself so that you may be forgiven and set free and be given a new life. That's why His name is Mighty God. He has the power to change your heart, change your life. And He will. If you believe in Him and trust in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the truth of Your word. Thank You for the promises. Every one of them, they're for us. We may not always see what they are, but by faith we believe that You are the Son of God, that You are the Almighty God, as well as the God-man, that helps us to see what God is truly like. By what You taught, how You lived, and what You said. So Lord, there may be someone here today, young or old, or anyone in between, that is religious, but we don't get to heaven by being religious. We don't get to heaven by just coming to church. We get to heaven, there's only one way we get there, and that's believing in Jesus Christ, who is the truth, the way, and the life. It's to simply believe in His word and in Him as our Savior. So thank You, Lord, that we can rejoice if we have Jesus in our lives today, we rejoice in that. And we pray for those who don't. We can have family members who don't know Christ as their Savior. We can have friends, we can have neighbors that don't know Jesus. So use us. Use us, Lord, it's today, this week, this month, next year. Use us to bring the power of the mighty God. For people to say, I've done it my way for all these years. Now I think it's time to let God have His way. And I will trust in Him. And He'll teach you. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go into our communion service, just want you to know that There's obviously somebody here that doesn't always know how we do communion, but it's a very serious thing that communion is. It's not something you just do because you see somebody else do it. It's something that you need to be asking God, is this something I need to do today or should do today? And kind of the way that we do it here, you know, there's different churches who do it different ways. I just want you to know how we do it here. We ask that you know Jesus as your Savior, first of all. Let's start there. That you know Him as your personal Savior. And when it comes to kids, we're glad that the kids are here, but in our way of doing communion, we'd like it if the kids have gone through confirmation, that they understand what communion is all about. If you don't know what communion is all about, then you can still come forward and those that are serving will put their hand on your head or on your shoulder and they'll just bless you. But don't come up expecting that you get like the cup of juice or wine or a wafer. Unless you've been through confirmation. Because confirmation teaches you what it's all about. And it's very serious. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it that way. So if you come up and you don't want to take wine, you just hold your hand out flat like this, and those that are serving you will know that you want grape juice that is also served. So that's kind of one of the things we just want to make sure that you are aware of. If you've got any questions at all about communion, I'd be more than glad to talk to you about it. And there was a time I didn't know anything about it. And I remember my first communion is when I got confirmed, and it went down the wrong pipe when I took the wine. And I tried to not cough. Is that possible? It's not possible. I felt my whole head turning red, and I started heating up, and I'm going like, everyone's watching me, and I had to cough. It was terrible. But I didn't know that communion was something that was very personal between you and God, and you needed to ask God for the forgiveness of your sins, and that He was there to help you. And it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It's something we do over and over again, because we sin over and over again. So that's kind of, am I forgetting something? You'll be served when the ushers come up and tell you you can go up front. There's two stations. One will be down here. This one you can just kind of walk through and go back and sit down where you are at now. If you'd like to come up front and kneel at the altar and just spend some time with the Lord, you'll be served up here. You can stay up here as long as you want, and then you can go down whenever you want to, and that'll be just fine as well. So take your choice. You can go down the expressway here, or the one that will take you to get a little checkout in the middle of it up here. So we will turn to the Lord in our time here this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it. And He said to His disciples, "This is my body given for you. Eat it. And do this until I come again." And we do it in remembrance of Him. And then Jesus took the cup. And when He drank from it, He gave thanks to His Father, and He said, "This is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So that's why we come up here and we do this. Communion is a time that we are receiving Jesus into our lives, but He's also one that will also strengthen us in our faith as well. I don't understand all of it. It's a mystery. But I just say, He said it. That's why we do it. And so I will invite the servers to come. You're going to help serve here today, and then the ushers can release you as well.
Thank you. given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us pray the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.